And welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanz in Washington on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan in Sudan this Friday, April 28, 2023. The Sudanese top envoy in Juba says Sudan Armed Forces rejects an extension of the U.S. broad ceasefire.
On Tuesday, 21st, April 2023,
and some Sudanese lawmakers advocate for gender equity in information communication technology.
ICT skills for girls and women means a lot. The digitalization of virtually all sectors of economic activity is providing unique opportunity for economic growth.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's acting foreign minister says the Rapid Support Forces, one of the parties to the conflict in Sudan, has agreed to President Salva Kiir's request for extending the 3-day ceasefire across the country. Deng Dao Deng says once the ceasefire is extended, he got it to initiate a face-to-face talks between representatives of the Sudan Armed Forces and public Rapid Support Forces. For VOA News, Manyang Yang from Juba.
Addressing heads of the diplomatic missions accredited to South Sudan in Juba earlier on Friday, South Sudan's acting Foreign Affairs Minister, Deng Dao Deng, said the commander of the Rapid Support Forces, Mohamed Abdan Daglo, accepted President Salva Kiir's earlier call for an extended ceasefire.
On Tuesday, 21st April 2023, President Al-Burhan, in a call with President Salva Kiir Mayardit, gave his initial acceptance of the initiative. We are yet, and of course, we have also sent a similar written request both to His Excellency Burhan and also to the leader of RSF, a written one we have sent to them both. We have had the RSF responded by accepting the ceasefire.
Last week, the Biden administration brokered a 72-hour ceasefire agreement between the warring parties in Sudan. Deng says the warring parties should set the differences through mediated talks aimed at silencing the guns.
We hope that this particular ceasefire will have meaning and will have an impact on the life of the Sudanese people, both are in Khartoum and those who are outside. The attention will shift, particularly from today. We are hoping that the attention will shift to how to get, the face-to-face talk, because war cannot be won in the battlefield.
The World Health Organization say at least 500 people have been killed since the fighting erupted on April 15. Deng says a roundtable discussions could be the only avenue for addressing the root causes of the conflict in Sudan.
This particular period of 72 hours or beyond could be used as a way to resume to the table of talk so that issues, root causes, and how this war can be averted can be now the space for us and others to join in. And whether inside Sudan, of course, it is quite challenging because Khartoum International Airport is inaccessible, or outside Sudan, in the region, and South Sudan included. But again, that depends on the choice of the two leaders.
Sudanese Foreign Ministry issued a statement Friday denying a claim that the Sudan Armed Forces had not agreed to extend the 3-day ceasefire. Jamal Malik is the Sudanese ambassador to South Sudan. He accused RSF of violating the ceasefire agreement.
This morning, the Rapid Support Forces attacked a Turkish plane when they came to Wadi Zeyna Air Force Base for evacuation, and this happened this morning, 7:25 a.m. in the morning. And this is a clear violation, and it has to be condemned.
Turkish Foreign Ministry confirmed that Its aircraft was attacked with small arms fire, but said no injuries were reported, adding the C-130 plane could require some repairs. Residents of Khartoum say, despite the announcement of an extended 72-hour ceasefire on Thursday, heavy explosions and gunfire can still be heard across Khartoum and its twin city of Omdurman. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
The United Nations World Food Programme says the fighting in Sudan has worsened and already dire conditions for millions of people in Sudan. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
With the extension of the shaky ceasefire and limited humanitarian assistance given,
WFP says around 15 million people, a third of Sudan's population, already face hunger. With evacuations underway, millions more are dealing with food shortages inside the country and in neighboring South Sudan, where thousands of South Sudanese refugees are fleeing for safety. Brenda Kariuki is WFP's senior regional communication officer in Eastern Africa. She says WFP had planned to assist 7.6 million Sudanese this year, but she says those plans have been shelved for now because of concerns for the safety of WFP staff.
As the fighting rages on in Sudan, our humanitarian operations in the country are virtually impossible at a time when a third of the country is in desperate need of assistance. We are hearing of acute shortages of food, water, fuel, medicines, and access to healthcare. With this crisis, we are afraid that millions more will plunge into hunger.
The crisis has triggered a huge displacement crisis, with thousands of Sudanese and South Sudanese refugees fleeing to neighboring countries seeking safety and protection. The United Nations reports some 20,000 people have fled to Chad, and at least 4,000 South Sudanese refugees have been returning to their homes of origin in five northern states bordering Sudan. Kariuki says these numbers are expected to increase as the crisis escalates. She notes WFP will be unable to provide aid to needy people inside Sudan as long as the current situation of insecurity persists.
WFP staff, offices and vehicles and equipment and food stocks have come in the direct line of fire, and looting of our warehouses continues. To date, we know up to 4,000 metric tons of food meant for vulnerable people has been looted from our warehouses, and at least 10 vehicles and 6 trucks which transport food have been stolen.
She calls this unacceptable, as it takes away humanitarian aid meant for the most vulnerable Sudanese and refugees who desperately need this life-saving food. Among those most in need of humanitarian aid, she says, are the hundreds of thousands of refugees who are sheltering in Sudan. School children who will miss out on their daily meal, malnourished infants, and pregnant and breastfeeding mothers. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
From Geneva, we move back to Khartoum, where the ceasefire in Sudan has expired, and the hopes for peace on the streets of Khartoum has died as the two warring parties fired at each other today. VOA's Anthony Labruto reports on the sentiments of peace currently being discussed by Sudanese officials.
With the extension of the shaky ceasefire and limited humanitarian assistance given during a lull in the fighting, the evacuation of many foreign nationals left Sudanese officials and civilians hoping the temporary agreement could be extended into meaningful long-term talks for peace. Mohamed Abdullah, Sudan's ambassador to the United States, who spoke with VOA, says peace will prevail if all parties respect the terms of the truce.
So we hope that the other party We respect the truth and we respect the ceasefire, especially those elements of RSF who are deployed in the residential areas and on road streets intersections. So if as far as the government is concerned, I'd like to assure you that we are committed to respect the ceasefire.
Ambassador Abdullah expressed confidence in the mediation efforts initiated by the African Union and the Intergovernmental Authority on Development. The heads of Sudan, Djibouti, and Kenya are spearheading the negotiations for lasting peace.
No, the hope is always there for peace, and as we are speaking now, and in the future, the African Union or the IGAD delegation of three presidents, which was intending and planning to visit Sudan. This opportunity is there. But due to technical, you know, problems at the, you know, the airport closed now, and so it's not possible for them to fly to Khartoum.
The United Nations and many Western countries have called for an end. United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Washington is in direct talks with the two warring factions, namely Sudanese Army leader Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and the head of the Rapid Support Forces, General Mohamed Hamdan Daglo, or Hemedi.
We've also continued to engage directly with General Burhan and General Hemedi to press them to extend and expand the Eid ceasefire to a sustainable cessation of hostilities that prevents further violence and upholds humanitarian obligations. The Sudanese people are not giving up on their aspirations for a secure, free, and democratic future. Neither will we.
Former Sudanese ambassador to the U.S., Narel Dansati, who also spoke with VOA, also hopes the temporary truce will lead to permanent peace and pave the way to a democratically elected government. He, however, blames the Sudanese armed forces for failing to address the expansion of the Red Support Forces.
It was their own making. You know, they have, you know, they are the ones that created the RSF until 11 days ago. They were their partners, and they allowed them to come to Khartoum. They allowed them to amass fortune. They allowed them to arm themselves. Even they become more powerful than the army. They allowed them to occupy army, you know, locations around Khartoum and around. They have 36, points in Khartoum and around Khartoum.
Ambassador Abdullah agrees that the conflict could have been avoided, but says going forward, the government is committed to lasting peace.
The government, the chairman of the Supremacy Council, have reiterated it once and more and many times that the government is committed to resume the political process if this crisis is solved and the political process should also lead to a civilian-led government that could lead a transitional period.
IGAD and many international partners have proposed extending the ceasefire, but it is not clear if an extended truce can be reached. Anthony Labruto, VOA News, Washington.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudanese lawmakers advocate for gender equity in the information communication technology. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your favorite meal?
I like chips and anything braai, whether chicken or beef.
My favorite meal is our fish, michambo, and local vegetables like nkwani.
I love chapati. Like, I don't know why I love chapati, but I just love chapati. There's no reason for loving it. Like, chapati every day.
My favorite meal is jollof and rice with chicken. That will be best for me.
My favorite food, matoke, that is banana, and beans. Banana and beans, yes.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some lawmakers in South Sudan and officials are advocating for more girls to get skills in information communication technology, or ICT. The Speaker of the Transitional National Legislative Assembly, Gemma Nunu Kumba, says girls and young women should pursue careers in ICT. For VOA News, Juliana Shiapai reports from Juba.
Speaker Kumba says encouraging girls to pursue career in the ICT field could help them participate in e-learning, among other benefits.
ICT skills for girls and women means a lot. Digitalization of virtually all sectors of economic activity is providing unique opportunity for economic growth and requires greater inclusion of women in the labor market. The need for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics and ICT skill is growing in all sectors, from health to manufacturing, opening up new employment options for everybody.
Kumba spoke Thursday in Juba at an event marking the International Girls in ICT Day. She says South Sudan's parliament will pass legislation promoting online safety for girls and women in the country. The speaker says her non-profit charity group, the Gemma Nuno Kumba Foundation, will sponsor three girls from the Greater Bahr el Ghazal, Upper Nile, and Equatoria to study ICT in 2023. Lily Kiden, who is the chairperson of the Specialized Standing Committee for Gender at the National Legislative Assembly, says unequal access to the internet and technology makes it difficult for girl child to benefit from the various digital opportunities. Kiden calls on South Sudanese leaders to break the barrier and biases preventing women and girls from enrolling science and maths at higher institutions of learning in the country.
And as members of parliament, we are also advocating that there let there be laws that can guarantee the ICT work in the Republic of South Sudan. While digitalization moving the world forward, we are still struggling in South Sudan. Women face several layers of difficulties, including a lack of literacy. Women need to increase their capacity in access, transfer, and application of ICT.
Zamba Lionel, an assistant engineer for Spectrum at the National Communication Authority, says the institution is committed to advancing ICT across the country.
We need to have a right strategic alliance. And this strategic alliance will enable us to pool resources together, because not a single entity, Iraq Media, does not have all the money, nor do they have all the space to train all the girls in South Sudan. But assuming we all pool resources together, we'll have someone doing these same trainings in Yambio, another one in Wau, another one in Tori, another one in Maban. And at the end of the day, after some few years, we'll have a well digitally skilled young ladies and women.
According to the United Nations, supporting the education of women and girls in ICT is in line with the Sustainable Development Goals, number 5, which advocates for achieving gender equality and empowering all women and girls through other domains, including ICT. Blessed Chiremuta is the United Nations Development Programme Deputy Resident Coordinator. He says UNDP is devoted to support the government of South Sudan to achieve the UN's Sustainable Development Goals.
For example, in places where there's conflict, you will not even expect the girls to be able to advance their interests in ICT. And we also believe in UNDP that technology plays a big, big part in terms of accelerating the achievement of SDGs. Hence, we are willing to support the government on its journey in terms of accelerating the SDGs. Right now, we've been supporting the establishment of National E-Commerce Hub. It's one of the things that we are trying to put across so that girls can access ICT.
This year's theme for the International Girls in ICT is Digital Skills for All. This is the first time South Sudan is marking Information, Communication and Technology Day. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
We love to hear your remarks on some of the issues in this broadcast. My colleague Nabil Biagio has been busy since morning collecting all your comments, and he's ready. Over to you, Nabil.
Thank you, John. This listener says, hi, VOA and all the listeners. I'm Molana Kirdau Adum from the University of Juba Western Campus. I would like to appreciate the Vice Chancellor of Juba University, Professor John Akech, for the good work he's doing for the welfare of our university. Basically, I'm requesting him to talk with non-teaching assistant staffs, especially gatekeepers, to allow the fourth-year students to enter when they have a test or an assignment. It is not good for the fourth-year students to miss a test or an assignment, so let us value the future of our citizens. Mading Malwal Alwong in Juba says, the Sudan crisis has exposed the South Sudan government's inability to take care of its people. It is a very clear indication that the government is only interested in South Sudan's material wealth, not human resources. If there are no people, there can be no South Sudan. The government of South Sudan's failure to rescue its people from this difficult situation explained that we don't have a government, but an amalgamation of individuals and mafias whose interest is wealth in South Sudan. Jacob Dior Machuen from Ural in Lake State says, hello, South Sudan Focus. The whole region and the government are being cheated by the construction of a substandard work that's being done on Juba-Rumbek Highway. With my 6 years of experience with road construction, there is no road that begins with mere mud rather than marum. The assumed tarmac road will not last even for 3 years without potholes. I recommend to the Ministry of Roads and Bridges to deploy local engineers as road inspectors in order to achieve a quality road. Ayen Yang Dao in Bortown writes, dear VOA, with the little window of evacuation, I urge all foreign countries through their embassies to evacuate their nationals out of Khartoum before the fight resumes again around the airport. John Dun Machar Garang in Uganda says, hello VOA. I am hereby requesting IGAD and the United Nations together to see a way of how to rescue the common man in Sudan because they are unable to escape the current situation. This is because Sudan is a larger country of which no one can cross on foot. And on top of that, there are many challenges on the way from Khartoum to Egypt, Libya, Chad, South Sudan, Eritrea, and Madagascar. It takes hundreds of miles to reach the mentioned neighboring countries due to financial challenges, plus insecurity on the way, which blocks the majority from seeking asylum from abroad. Kindly, I beg your esteemed powers and authorities to rescue them in the same way that you are taking foreigners. Peter Gonyanyang Majongdul in Block 3 in Bortown says, I urge the two leaders of SAF and RSF to call a cessation of hostilities to end days and weeks of fighting that killed hundreds and displaced tens of thousands since the conflict erupted in Sudan 2 weeks ago. This listener says, hello, VOA team. I go by the names Asega Ludanga from DRC Congo. My message goes to all South Sudanese and Sudanese across the world. We should have a heart of love, forgiveness, unity, joy, and kindness to bring a total peace in our beloved country of South Sudan and Sudan for us to enjoy. Thanks, VOA Africa, for your program. Ton Makenduk in Juba says, dear John Tanza, I was in Khartoum when fighting started. I missed your news for 2 weeks. Thank God that I came to Juba yesterday and I will be listening to your reliable and accurate news. Isaac Tang Dak in Bantu Town says, the international bodies rescue Sudanese and South Sudanese from what seems to be eternal suffering of a man-made nature, and no one has ever been taken to the ICC since 1972, while violators were known. This listener says, hello VOA, I am Charles Pascali from Juba. Regarding the intensive gun battle between the Sudanese armed forces and the RSF turning on each other, it's really a concern because it is the civilians who bear the brunt. Therefore, every country has the responsibility to ensure that their citizens are evacuated from Sudan. This fan says, hello VOA, I am Peter Ajak Ayom in Bor Jongle State. The statement of the South Sudan acting foreign affairs minister is really beating my understanding. How can he tell South Sudanese people who are trapped in Khartoum due to the conflict that the government is unable to evacuate its citizens? This automatically will tell you that the government has failed. If other countries can evacuate their citizens, why not South Sudan? South Sudan has to help its citizens as it is the sole responsibility of the government. This fan says, hello VOA, I am Wani Chibagai in Juba, POC 3. I am worried about fighting in Sudan because my mom and her 5 children are there in Khartoum with my aunt, uncle and cousin with their younger siblings, and I want the South Sudan government to do the same like what America Great Britain, Saudi Arabia, China, Turkey, and Japan to evacuate their citizens. This listener who goes by Jobo Jobo says, please South Sudanese, it is advisable that you do not export the culture of theft, robbery, and killing to Sudan. This barbaric behavior has cost those believing in such norms very dearly in human life, as seen in the video circulating in social media. And finally, this listener says, hello VOA, I am Emmanuel Juma from Ayivu Refugee Settlement in Yumba District. I really thank you so much for updating us on what is happening in the country South Sudan and in the globe at large. Continue on updating us. May God bless you and have a good evening. The views expressed here do not reflect the views of VOA or of this program. We appreciate hearing from all of you. Keep those comments coming.
And I will repeat, keep your comments brief, and we shall sample some of them every Friday. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. That's all we prepared for you this Friday. We now take you to Yambio for some traditional Zande song. Listening to Tutu with our traditional Zande song from Western Equatorial State. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. Don't forget to visit voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you miss this program, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Bob, we wish you a good evening. Remember to join us next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.